People on the roads and in the skies, but the weather hampering some travel, says ABC's Alex Stone.
It's like Groundhog Day, where last week is the biggest crowds in history were flying on Thursday and Friday, heading out of town, according to TSA data. Today, they're all coming back. And again, LaGuardia and JFK airports in New York, along with Boston Logan and Newark Liberty, have the most canceled and delayed flights and are under threat of thunderstorms again. As the day goes on, cancellations are likely to grow because of the storm threat.
These storms have been deadly, responsible for at least 20 deaths across the country, nearly 700,000 power outages right now. And Japan briefly told people on the island of Okinawa to take cover because of a North Korean missile launch. That evacuation alert lifted. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Weather damage from Sunday. The damage is to large trees, which could have been done by tornadoes. The Weather Service investigation will focus on Janesville and Milton. Tornadoes may have also touched down in Whitewater and Fort Atkinson Sunday. A lot of people are on their way home from the busiest Memorial Day weekend for travel since the pandemic. 3.5 million Americans flew somewhere.
Last year, the cancellation rate was at a 10-year low. This year, so far, it's actually even better than last year, but we want to make sure that it stays that way. We're pressing the airlines to do their part.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. This is Civic Media News.
Climate watchers predict this summer's temperatures may set records, which could aggravate some medical conditions. Terry D. reports.
Neurologist Dr. Ann Jones says when the body feels extreme heat and sweat evaporates, hypercoagulation or blood thickening occurs. This increases the chance for blood clots. Winter weather can also produce an instinctive response.
The cold makes us kind of react with our fight or flight kind of drive, and it makes our blood vessels close down or vasoconstrict, and that can raise blood pressure up, and that can predispose you to stroke.
The study indicates more research could identify the impact of temperature change on stroke as a way to address health inequalities, including the burning of fossil fuels, deforestation, and industrial processes. This is Terry D.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers back from a long road trip. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers are back from their 9-game, 10-day road trip, their longest of the season. They lost to the Red Sox on Sunday 2-1. They finished the trip with a record of 4 wins and 5 losses. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked what he thought about the trip.
You know, again, I want to answer every question you guys direct towards me, but I'm just not going to address like road trip by road trip, series by series. Today we competed. We were right there till the end. That's what I worry about. And we had very few lapses on this long road trip. We had very few lapses. We're a very young team. We're a very banged up team. I love how they come to play. I love our leadership. Credit to our coaching staff for having them ready to play every day, for setting a tone and a culture. You know, I'm impressed with the coaching staff, and I'm impressed with the way the players respond to that and get ready to compete every day.
That's Pat Murphy. The Brewers host and the Cubs for a 4-game homestand. An update later on today with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 70 today. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 50. Tomorrow, another slight chance of a thunderstorm. Otherwise, partly cloudy, 65. On Wednesday, sunny with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Memorial Day show as we have on Jeremy Lyon from the Department of Veterans Affairs and looking back at Gold Star families.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jane says, good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kelvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have our guests join us live in studio. Karen Rilke is here with the Honor Flight. Good morning, Karen. You may want to pull that mic up just a little bit.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
You have been involved with Honor Flight for a very long time.
I have. I started in 2014, but our organization started in 2008. So there was plenty of history before I came along as well.
And for those who don't know, and I think I would like to think that most people by now are familiar with Honor Flights, mm-hmm. but what was the genesis of this idea?
Sure. So the Honor Flight movement started in 2006 when a physician's assistant in Ohio realized that his World War II vet patients did not have the means physically or financially to see the brand new at that time, World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. So he had a friend who was a private pilot, and they started flying a couple vets at a time, all expenses paid, to see their memorial. And that really was the genesis of the movement. And then our hub here in Southeast Wisconsin started in 2008, and the first flight of Milwaukee vets was November of 2008.
Wow. Now, it started with World War II vets.
It did.
Most of them are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So now Korean War and Vietnam veterans.
That's correct. It's really an opportunity for our oldest vets to get the day of honor and gratitude that they really didn't get. You know, we've all seen the ticker tape parade footage from World War II, even though that wasn't the reality for most World War II vets. And then the Korean vets tell me that they really came home to silence. People weren't very interested, didn't know why we were there, didn't understand why they had been there. And then I think many of us know what the reception that our Vietnam vets received.
They were treated so terribly.
They were, yeah. And really have carried that hurt for so long. And this is really a day of closure, of joy, of a chance for the community to show gratitude, and really their moment of redemption. So we're thrilled to take thousands of our Vietnam vets to Washington, D.C. as well.
I was speaking to you, Karen, before we got on air, and I have a small connection to Honor Flight. I used to work at a barbershop called Jose's Barber Extraordinaire, and Jose was himself a Korean War vet, and he took an Honor Flight. And when I mentioned it to you, you were like, Jose? And for his sons, that will mean so much because he was such a unique figure, but more so the fact that he came back beaming, mm-hmm. just to feel that pride, to feel that recognition, to feel that connection to, you know, something was so long ago that it's when I hear Honor Flight, I just think of throngs of people being excited for these individuals who gave so much to us. And it means so much that you're still doing it. And you even said, like, you've worked with 10,000 vets, but you remember Jose. And that means the world to me as someone who cared very much about him.
He was wonderful. And really, it's a joy for us to give these vets not only a chance to spend the day with other vets,
yeah,
but the chance to have some pride in their service. I hear from the sons and daughters that sometimes accompany their vet on a flight that My dad never wore a Vietnam vet hat. He didn't have anything that said he was a vet. He didn't identify really as a veteran, even though he was one, because he had really locked that part of his life away.
Yeah.
And it's such an overwhelming joy for us to have these vets finally proud again and willing to tell people that they served and have others thank them for what they did so long ago.
I feel like that's something that, I mean, I can't speak from experience, but, you know, there's a lot of men out there who, even who fought in World War II, they came home to the ticker tape parades, but then it was time for real life to take on. And we weren't asking questions. They weren't telling stories. And this part of history has been, some parts have been lost because they're just like, I don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. I got things to do. I got bills to pay, a family to feed. And to see these, I feel like as they got older and now in today's day and age, we're far more receptive to these stories and we want to hear from what they experienced, especially just to let it out as maybe a little bit of therapy as well. Oh,
absolutely. And one of the reasons that we require our guardians who accompany the vets to be a minimum of 15 years younger than the vet they accompany is so those stories will live on. So these people hear the stories of sometimes their dad or their grandpa or their grandmother. We have a lot of ladies that fly with us that served as well to very little fanfare.
Yeah.
And we want those stories to live on. That's incredibly important to us.
And I think, too, that we forget so many of these people are so modest and don't feel like they're heroes and don't necessarily feel like they deserve to be celebrated, but they should be.
Yes. I had a very powerful moment probably 8 years ago or so. I was with two Korean War vets and we went to an interview. And one of the Korean War vets was a Silver Star recipient. Had been nominated for the Medal of Honor, but not enough other soldiers survived the battle to corroborate his story.
Oh, my.
And then the other veteran had served stateside here in the United States in supply. And after the interview, as we were walking out, the veteran who had served in supply said to the combat veteran, I'm just honored to be in the same room with you. And I will never forget this. The combat vet pointed right in his face and said, don't ever say that again. If you hadn't done your job, I wouldn't be here to tell my story. Your service is just as important as mine is, and you deserve that honor flight just as much as I did. And the veteran in supply started to cry. It was just absolutely incredible. And a beautiful explanation of why we don't care where the veteran served. If you served before June of 1975, active duty, no matter where you were sent, your role was important. And it's worthy of being thanked for.
Karen Rilke is our guest, and we are talking about honor flights. You just had one honor flight. You have another one coming up in June. Karen, if someone is listening and they are related to a vet who has never taken part,
yes,
what is the process to go about starting?
Well, the first thing to know is the flight is completely free for the veterans. And as of this moment, because of a very generous anonymous donor, the Guardian donation is waived as well. We don't know how long that will last. But veterans can bring a son, daughter, grandchild, grandson with them at no cost right now.
That's wonderful.
It is. So, again, if they served active duty in June of 1975 or before, and that's active duty beyond boot camp, they are eligible. And they can go to our website, which is starsandstripeshonorflight.org. And there is an online application there for both veteran and guardian. Right now, it's about a year wait, maybe not quite. So the time to get on the list is now.
Yeah, do it now. Yeah. We will include that link in our show notes.
Absolutely.
If you have questions after the show is over, get us about an hour. Greg puts together a really great compilation of every day's show. So go to civicmedia.us and then just click on shows. Go to Matt Nair on Air, and everything will be right there with all of the links that you need. What about people who, Karen, are not related to a veteran and they would like to do something? They would like to get involved. What could they do?
So, you know, certainly donations are great. But there's other ways as well. Our flight days, if you've been a part of our homecoming in the evening at Mitchell Airport, it's unforgettable. Mm. And our friends at Mitchell Airport are really amazing hosts and allow us to throw the best party ever 6 times a year. So we'd love to have more members of the community come out to welcome the vets home. It's a great party. Kids are welcome. There's a sign-making station. So kids can make signs that say, welcome back, veterans. It's really a great evening. So our next flight is Saturday, June 15th. So you'll want to show up around 7 p.m. at Mitchell Airport. It's a great way to participate. We're pretty full for volunteers at the moment. We have about 250 active volunteers. Wow. That are just spectacular folks. And we don't want to take a bunch more if we can't give them something to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
So certainly really the best way to participate right now is to talk about the program. Encourage any vets you see, whether it's at the grocery store for a stranger or somebody in your circle who might be reluctant. Let them know it's a safe day. It's a joyful day. And we'd really love to thank them.
I was lucky enough to go on one a number of years ago when I was working for a different station just to do a story on it. And it is a very long day. Mm-hmm. I give those veterans a lot of credit because they're up early and it lands kind of late after a very busy day. Yeah. But coming back to Mitchell, and I had heard about it, you don't appreciate it until you see it, until you walk through lines and lines of smiling, cheering people, and then you get to look at the faces on the veterans as they're coming back. Mm-hmm. It will change you and just make you feel so grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really spectacular. And it's the moment of homecoming that these vets never got. And really when we can replace or maybe amend a bad memory from the past with something positive, it's the best thing ever for us. And we've had vets tell us that for 50 or 60 years, they had nightmares every night about their service.
Oh.
And after taking the honor flight, they were gone. And that's the best gift we could possibly get.
That kind of closure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally.
And finally being acknowledged.
Yeah.
You know, for so long, they just didn't want to share the memories because they were so painful. So to get those out and get the relief is just so important.
That's wonderful. It is. That's just wonderful. Yeah. You have Greg and I all weepy and stuff.
Welcome to our world. We're weepy all the time.
Oh God.
We're just on the cliff of.
For the landing when they come back, mm-hmm. Do you need to register on the website to be there, or can you just show up and say I'm here to be a part of it?
You can just absolutely show up.
Okay, great.
The only thing we ask is that folks who don't know someone on the flight, yeah, allow the veterans' families to have the front rows.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
So they can hug their vet and celebrate the welcome home. But no, you do not have to register. You can just show up at 7 p.m. on a flight night and join in the celebration.
That's fantastic.
It really is. And they also do it in Washington, too. When the honor flights land in Washington, it's not necessarily as large of a turnout, but there's still all kinds of people who are there to welcome them when they land. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Actually, since you've flown, Jane, we switched airports and we now use Dulles.
Oh.
And Dulles has a volunteer corps that is just spectacular. And when we landed on this past Saturday, they had about 250 people there.
Wow.
And it's all kids. It's, you know, little league teams in uniform. It's, you know, a junior high clarinet band. It's just so spectacular. And the vets just cry their way through.
If you have questions, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're talking about the Honor Flight. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes.
I would like be the first person picked. And so,
yes, getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They came from towns across this land. One last tour, one last stand. Most could walk, some could not.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Buesenhoff, so coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Our special guest is Karen Relke with Honor Flight, and we are talking about how they started, why it's important, how you can get involved. If you have a question or a comment, you can always leave it on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, or call us, text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Tom is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Did you have a question for Karen?
Good morning. First off, thank God for you guys, Jane and Greg. Really appreciate you. Karen, this is such a great thing, and it's such an awesome thing that you guys do. I'm going to ask you more of a philosophical question if I can. The only place where I see that war or that evil is shown is through war. And I'm just wondering, you know, because I'm a peacenik. I'm a person that doesn't believe in war. I'm a person that believes it doesn't solve anything. But I'm just wondering, when you talk to these veterans, do they actually, like, believe, like, there's, like, good and evil, and that's why we have war? I don't know if that's too big of a question to ask or not, but I'm just trying to get a perspective from that.
I think that's a big ask for Karen. I mean, she's dealt with 10,000 veterans, Tom, over the years.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer as best I can. Really, what we're talking to these vets about is what happened to them on a personal level 50 years ago. So most of these vets were kids. They
were 19 years old.
They were
20
many
years old.
Many were drafted, and many did not realize what they were getting into, both as they were sent there, wherever that may have been, and what they were going to experience when they came home. And, you know, I think they had seen their dads and their uncles fighting in World War II. And, you know, most would agree genuinely saving the world at that point. And, you know, the ones who enlisted felt like this was their chance to make a difference and didn't really understand what was going to happen, what they were getting into. And then those that were drafted felt like they had no choice. So, you know, we don't get too philosophical on an honor flight day. What we're most concerned about is trying to heal those old wounds and really acknowledge what these folks went through and the lives that they've built since then.
These aren't the policymakers. They're not.
No.
They weren't the decision makers. They were doing what they were told to serve their country.
And Tom just texted us as well. He said they are definitely heroes. So.
Yeah, and in many cases, you know, they have a different take on heroism.
Yeah.
You know, a hero can be somebody who, you know, lost their best friend in something, in a place that they didn't want to be, and came home and had people calling them names for even being there when they had no choice, but they still managed to build a life as best they could and get beyond that. So that's heroic as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You need to go. You need to go. You need to get involved. Volunteer, even though you have plenty right now, you're always, volunteers are always welcome. Get involved, learn more. And as you said, Karen, it's about the individual and helping this individual heal.
It is.
From wounds from a really long time ago.
Yeah, it is. And actually, you know, some of these vets came home and maybe weren't the best dads and or moms. And you know, as they struggled to build their life back. And in some cases, when they fly with a son or a daughter and experience this day together, those bonds are strengthened. And so even if it's not necessarily about their service, sometimes it's about renewing relationships. Sometimes it's about a vet who's 75 and a widower who's lonely and gets to spend a day in the company of other people having a wonderful day. It means different things to different people, but really it's a celebration of some of our oldest vets and what they've brought to their communities and their families.
And I would think, too, the ability to talk to other veterans, because most of us who are not in the military, we have no concept.
No, we have no idea.
None of what they had to deal with and what they were dealing with. And so some of those stories must be so intensely personal. You need someone else who has lived through that.
Yes.
In order to share it.
And many of our Vietnam vets, we've been told, didn't feel welcomed at places like the VFW or the American Legion. So they didn't join those kind of vet schools.
Oh.
So again, not an opportunity to share with other vets until they're surrounded on flight day. And we tend to, where we sit vets next to each other on the plane with their guardians behind them, mm-hmm. so that
they can share.
So that they can share. Yep.
Well, that's something too, is like, you know, growing up, I grew up here in Waukesha, and the VFW on Summit is now gone. And I have to imagine, because of that sort of treatment of the Vietnam vets, they didn't join, so they didn't go to the Vietnam, and now the ones who kept those posts up and running are gone now, and no one's there to take up the mantle and move forward with it. It's really sad, because it was a place where, I mean, even, you know, some places, I don't know, I'm a man, and I feel lucky that I live in a country where I'm not going to be drafted into a military. Mm-hmm. And you can't understand that kind of luck and privilege until you talk to somebody whose number came up on television and they were going. You had no choice, because you didn't have the ability to get out. You're going to war. And I think that's another aspect of, like, you know, understanding just that journey and knowing that I don't have to do that anymore. Then that I'm lucky. I didn't want to be in the military. Mm-hmm. My dad was, he didn't want that for me. So we're losing these experiences and we're losing these opportunities to connect. And the VFW thing really hits with me, because I wish there were, like, I see them closing around the area, and that's really sad.
Well, support is always important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Support is always important. And you can help support the Honor Flight. As Karen mentioned, you can make a donation. You can try and volunteer. You can certainly be there for the welcoming committee at Mitchell International Airport. We will have all the links in our show notes. It takes about an hour after the show to get those posted. So check it out. Everything will be there. Karen Rilke with the Honor Flight, thank you so very, very much. Memorial Day is this weekend. It's on Monday. That is remembering those who have been lost. The Honor Flights are to honor those that we still have. Buy a poppy, too.
Correct.
Buy a poppy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely,
of course,
Karen. We will have you back. Stay with us. News is coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
One more honor to receive from their country. They talked of war and battles they'd been in, from Normandy to Berlin to the fields of Tianjin. In bodies worn from age, but eyes still so clear. Brave tears to flow, remembering those years. Standing at the monuments, saluting straight once more. Bronze and granite memories of those who went before. And when the time had come, fly on home again. Finally they knew they'd made a difference. Fight for honor one last time. A few more hours they stood in line. One more honor to receive from them.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic. Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Republican member of the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents says he plans to stay on even though his term has expired. Scott Walker appointed Bob Atwell in 2017. State Supreme Court ruled 2 years ago that appointees can keep serving until the state Senate confirms their successors. The Biden administration is expanding health coverage to children of immigrants in the DACA program. DACA participants in the U.S. are three times more likely than the general population to be uninsured. Aline Yuriko Badillo Carrillo is in the DACA program.
Not just for me, but I think it's a communal benefit. If I have access to medical care, then I'll be able to be healthier, and then I'll be able to help others.
Badillo Carrillo says immigrants and their families work many jobs vital to the economy. This is Civic Media News.
Common eating disorders like bulimia and anorexia are showing up more often now in young people who play sports. Eric Tegedoff reports.
Common eating disorders like bulimia and anorexia nervosa are showing up more often in young people, especially those who play sports. Dr. Susanna Block is a pediatric hospitalist.
If the sports environment starts to focus too much on performance or weight, that can really lead to an unhealthy situation for these teen athletes. So our goal is to help our kids get the benefits from sports without putting too much stress to promote eating disorders.
She acknowledges that some sports focus heavily on weight, such as boxing and wrestling, where athletes are designated by weight category. Other, more aesthetic sports, like gymnastics and diving, also have a focus on weight. Block says the unfortunate irony is that eating disorders ultimately lead to poor athletic performance. I'm Eric Tegedoff.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Variety has posted the predictions for Emmy Award nominations for Best Supporting Actor in the Comedy category. Eight of the top 10 nominees come from just three shows, FX's The Bear, Max's Hacks, and ABC's Abbott Elementary. Representing The Bear are Eben Moss Bachrach, Oliver Platt, Maddie Matheson, and Lionel Boyce. Paul Downs and Carl Clemens Hopkins are from Hacks, and Tyler James Williams and Chris Brighetti from Abbott Elementary. Richard Lewis is predicted to receive a posthumous nomination for Curb Your Enthusiasm. The title for the latest installment in the Knives Out franchise has been revealed. The Hollywood Reporter sprung the news that Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery, will debut on Netflix sometime next year. Director Rian Johnson revealed the title on his ex-Twitter page, as well as the fact that Daniel Craig will be back as the lead in the latest installment of the whodunit franchise. If they keep making Knives Out films, it's going to seem unbelievable that anyone would be seen at a dinner party with Daniel Craig. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cooler today with high temperatures only making it to the 60s. Some spots of sun will quickly be replaced with thickening clouds and showers and thunderstorm chances this afternoon and into the evening. And none are expected to be severe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 61.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. It's Maggie Dawn here. Have a wonderful and safe Memorial Day weekend.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join, you can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Before we get to our next guest, thank you for Lynn from Oconomowoc texting this in. President Biden has signed that $95 billion aid measure to help out Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. So some breaking news this morning. I wasn't expecting he would get this signed until tomorrow, but he has now signed it, and aid will be moving to those countries, which is very, very important. Our next guest, so many questions. Bob Lord is the tax policy advisor for Patriotic Millionaires. Good morning, Bob. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For people who don't know, members of the Patriotic Millionaires, and this is from your website, high net worth Americans, business leaders, and investors who are all concerned about historic levels of inequality and essentially the concentration of wealth, which turns into the concentration of power in this country. So Patriotic Millionaires has been around for a while, and you have a great article in Mother Jones Magazine, Bob, and we're going to include the link to your article in our show notes when the show is over. But you start with Forbes magazine that was founded in 1982 when they first came out with their 400 richest Americans. And the at the time, in the number one slot was this Daniel Ludwig, who was worth about $2 billion. There were only 13 billionaires in that first Forbes 100. Where are we now?
Number of billionaires?
Yeah.
Oh, I think Forbes has it at like 850 or something like that. But if you looked at the actual numbers, they're probably well over 1,000. Because, you know, Forbes will catch someone, you know, like Jeff Bezos that everybody knows about. But just some guy out there with a billion-dollar bond portfolio, they're not going to pick that up.
That's just not even worth it. It's so little. The poorest members of the latest Forbes 400 are worth almost $3 billion. And the share of the nation's wealth controlled by the richest 0.01% has more than tripled since 1982. So,
and just so people understand who that is, that 0.01%, it's about 13,000 households. These folks, we have a population of 330 million people. These folks could fit inside a ballpark.
And they control the vast majority of the wealth.
Well, not the majority, but 10% of the wealth. That's a lot for people who are 1/10,000th of the population.
So when did all of this start, Bob? Did this start under the tax policies of Ronald Reagan?
Pretty much. I mean, it started a little bit in 1978, but it really took off with Reagan. And it's just kind of ironic that Forbes first published this list in 1982 when it was really just, in its infancy.
Bob Lord is our guest. He's the tax policy advisor for Patriotic Millionaires. And we're talking taxes and tax cuts and how over the last 30 years, essentially more and more wealth has been accumulated by the same people. And that translates into power and that translates into influence. Let's talk about the 2017 tax cut that was Paul Ryan's biggest dream since he was in college, was to cut taxes for the wealthy. How has that worked out for the average American?
Not well. I mean, it hasn't hurt them for the most part. But basically what they did with this 2017 tax cut is they gave real affirmative tax cuts to those at the very top. You know, like the corporate rate was slashed. The top rate for individuals was lowered by three full percentage points. For the average person, they just kind of moved things around a little bit. You know, like they took away the exemption for the deduction you get for personal exemptions and for your kids, but then they increased the child tax credit and increased the standard deduction, and they lowered the marginal rates a little bit, but then they did something kind of sneaky. And that's why what happened was, initially people had a not a very modest tax cut, but noticeable,
right,
that diminished over time. And what they, so what they did is they changed the way tax rates and deductions adjust for inflation, and they made that less generous. So it starts out your first year under the Trump tax cuts, 2018, you do okay, not great, but okay. But then it gets skinnier and skinnier over time. And so now we're to the point where average people pretty much are in the same position they would have been had there never been Trump tax cuts. But the folks knocking down $5 million a year, they're doing great.
We got to protect the job creators, Bob. We hear this so much that they're
it trickles down, Jane.
Right.
It trickles down.
I've been waiting. I've been waiting a long time for that trickle, and it hasn't come yet. And
You know, Al Sharpton had a great phrase. He said, we're feeling the down, but where's the trickle?
Yeah.
We're feeling something, and it's not rain. How could we balance this? Because as you said, since the tax cut in 2017, average Americans have seen their savings get smaller and smaller and smaller until we're essentially back where we were. And now the wealthy just keep doing really, really, really well. What kind of policies could be instituted to balance things out a little bit? Should they be balanced a little bit?
They should be balanced a little bit. And, you know, the tax code is the last defense against undue wealth concentration. It's the firewall. And to work that way, it needs to do one of three things, or one or more of three things, I should say. It needs to either tax wealth, it needs to tax the growth in wealth, what I call real economic income, or it needs to tax the transmission of wealth from one generation to the next. And right now it does none of the three. We have an estate and gift tax system, but it's so loophole ridden that you got guys like Trump's former advisor, Gary Cohn, saying only morons pay the estate tax. And he's right in the sense that the estate tax is optional. I used to work in that area. And, you know, someone worth in the billions even, if they can't do it right before they die, but if they've got a couple decades left to live, they can systematically take their estate and move it to their kids, basically free of estate and gift tax. We don't tax wealth. We don't tax real economic income because we don't tax the unrealized gains that these folks hold in their investment assets. You know, someone like Jeff Bezos, he's sitting on $200 billion of gains in his Amazon stock. That's not subject to income tax. And you know what? When he dies, there's $200 billion of gains. They just go poof, they're gone. His kids can then sell and not have to pay any income tax. There's a strategy that's kind of well known. The ProPublica folks made this well known. It was actually the term was coined by a professor at the University of Southern California called buy, borrow, die, where you buy, or in the case of Bezos, you create a corporation. And then as the stock becomes more and more valuable, or as your office building becomes more and more valuable, whatever, instead of selling, you borrow against it, because borrowing isn't a taxable event. You use the borrowing to make other investments or to fund your living expenses. And then you die. And when you die, all the gains magically go away. Buy, borrow, die.
I'm just processing all of this, Bob. It's just
we need a moment to reboot, Jane.
Bob Lord is our guest, and he's the tax policy advisor for Patriotic Millionaires, and we're talking about the unbelievable accumulation of wealth by a very, very small percentage of Americans, and the larger concern about what that concentration of money means when it comes to influence and power. Greg, I know you had some questions for Bob.
So, you know, one thing that it baffles me, and I'm sure you've had this question or this discussion many times before, which is, you know, a lot of people who support the lawmakers who are putting forth these pieces of legislation or creating tax laws with loopholes for millionaires and billionaires and just a little for us, they're not rich. They're not like they're making 20, 30,000, 40,000, but they're like, I'm voting for that guy because he's protecting the job creators. He's protecting the people who make this country great. How is it that the wool has been pulled over their eyes and we cannot get them to understand the game is rigged? You're never going to be in their place. You have a better chance of being hit by lightning than becoming a billionaire, even in the same way someone like a Jeff Bezos or a Elon Musk would be. How is it that these individuals continually look to the lawmakers and the billionaires as like, yes, yes, one day
it's going to be me.
Yeah, it's like a lottery mentality. Like one day my prince will come, and that prince is money.
Well, I think that the people who are supposedly their champions don't really talk to them the right way. Put taxes aside. What about the minimum wage?
Mm-hmm.
It's pathetic. It's at $7.25 an hour still. Some states and some cities have raised it locally, but I think there are still 20 or 25 states where the wage is still $7.25 an hour. That's, you make $7.25, you work 40 hours a week, you're deep in poverty at that point, no matter where you live in the country. And we've got Democratic senators who refuse to budge on that. They don't want to support an increase in the minimum wage. The patriotic millionaires have, we sum it up in really 9 words: tax the rich, pay the people, spread the power. And that message has to get out there. We need real champions, and we don't have them. And then the other problem is, and I'm kind of getting astray here, but when you look at the legislative process, there's this hyper focus on how much revenue some tax provision raises. And when you get into the weeds on it, they don't really raise that much in the first 10 years, especially like if you're talking about reforming the estate tax, because people aren't going to die within the next 10 years. The focus should be on breaking up this concentration of wealth, which is destabilizing our democracy. So it shouldn't matter whether a tax reform proposal raises X billion dollars. It should be that it's going to knock down the wealth of these super wealthy families. And nobody's speaking like that. They're talking about, well, we can raise $1 billion and it'll fund blah, blah, blah program. No, it's we can tax these guys so they don't have so much darn political power. And that message needs to get out there.
But I worry, Bob, I worry that these ultra wealthy people then won't be able to buy a fifth yacht or compete with Jeff Bezos. The hardships that they would face should they actually be required to pay a little more.
Well, there's a lot of jobs in building a yacht, Jane. It shouldn't be so simple.
He is a job creator. That yacht that takes him to his bigger yacht, which takes him to his super yacht.
Employee.
There's a lot of money going into that.
That's true.
Well, yeah.
I wasn't thinking.
The jobs may be, by the way, in the Netherlands.
I was going to say, they're not in America either.
There's that too. If you have a comment or a question for Bob Lord, who is the tax policy advisor for Patriotic Millionaires, please shoot us a text at 855-752-4842. Bob, can we keep you for another segment?
Sure.
That would be great. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You need not wonder why. You need not wonder why. There's no time left for you. No time left for you. No time. 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 I got no time. I got no time.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or on the platform that Elon continues to ruin. Our guest, the tax policy advisor for Patriotic Millionaires, Bob Lord, is here. And we're talking taxes and the incredible accumulation of wealth among a very, very small percentage of Americans that's been going on since the 1980s, and why that is bad for pretty much all of us, except for that 0.01%. But I wanted to switch our focus, Bob, just to our very own Wisconsin's Ron Johnson. And he played a really critical role in Donald Trump's 2017 tax plan when it comes to pass-throughs. So for those of us who don't understand, what is a pass-through? What does that mean?
A pass-through is some form of business enterprise where there's no tax for the business, where it just flows onto the individual's tax return. It's a partnership. It's typically also a limited liability company in most cases, or it's something called a subchapter S corporation, where the corporation doesn't pay tax, but the shareholders pay tax on the corporation's income. And so what this provision did is it says if you have pass-through income, if you have a business that has partnership income or subchapter S corporation income, or just a sole proprietorship, you're just a contractor out there, you get to take a deduction equal to 20% of your income. So if you earn $1 million through your business, you get to take a $200,000 deduction. If you have $10 million of income, you get a $2 million deduction. Now, compare that to some guy, like, and even a rich guy like LeBron James, for example, and you just get a big fat paycheck, you don't get that deduction. So it just basically made these business owners unequal. And to give you an idea of how bad it is in terms of the inequality, ProPublica, in one of its reports a couple of years ago, showed that Mike Bloomberg, who's worth, I think, $106 billion, in 2018 alone, he saved $67 million in tax from this so-called pass-through deduction. And by the way, Ron Johnson saved a bundle himself, personally.
I have to lay down. I'm so shocked by that. Whoa. Yeah, and a couple of Ron Johnson's big donors, apparently, too. The Elines did really well, and also Diane Hendricks.
Yes,
in Wisconsin. Also,
oh yeah, they were like the top three or four.
Yeah,
the Ulines and Diane Hendricks.
And wasn't Ron Johnson also instrumental in making sure that the wealthy could get tax write offs for their planes?
You know, I don't know about that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I'll look into that.
I think he was also instrumental in the fake elector scheme, if I'm not mistaken.
5 seconds, Bob. He was only involved for 5 seconds. It barely crossed the transom of his brain.
You guys are really knocking on him. He's hard at work working on COVID vaccination conspiracy theories right now.
It's true.
Making sure the truth gets out there. All right. you two with your disrespecting him. Ugh.
Bob Lord is here, the tax policy advisor for Patriotic Millionaires. Greg, you had a question.
Actually, I'm going to go to a live stream question real quick. Andrew in Maine, he said, Mr. Lord, has anyone that you know of looked at the potential increase in revenue generated from a corporate tax that is simply gross revenue, gross refunds, removing the deducted expenses?
Well, I'm not sure what the listener means. Does that mean you don't get a deduction for what you pay your employees and that kind of thing?
We have to follow up. Andrew, if you're listening, please, if you can give a little more clarification. And while he's doing that, I had a really quick question for you. We saw, I think it was like last week or 2 weeks ago, Mark Cuban went on TV or on the radio and said, here's my check for 200 some million,
$80 million.
$80 million that I'm paying to the IRS, and I'm proud to pay my tax. It's my job. Are those, I mean, yes, he's paying his tax and that's good. It's legal and whatnot. But how much water does that kind of act make or hold for people to like be inspired to do it themselves? Because like one of the things that spoke about in your article is that some of these rich people just don't even pay their taxes. They're like, nah, I'll do it. I won't do it. I don't care. Who cares?
Well, yeah, the IRS has been so starved of resources that, they've hardly been able to audit the millionaires and billionaires at all. And then in 2022, finally, the Democrats were able to pass a package that, substantially increased the funding of the IRS. And since then, the Republicans have been fighting to cut that back, and they've partially succeeded. They're not only opposed to reforming the tax code, they're opposed to enforcing it.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole freak out about where the IRS is hiring more agents and, oh my God, we can't have that because they're coming for the little guy. No, they're not. Yeah. That's what they've been going after the last few years, is because that's how starved they were of resources.
I want to double back on one thing if I can. We were talking about, people not being able to appreciate what's going on. I don't think a lot of folks understand how much wealth these people have. And I just want to give one example to sort of drive that home. Let's say that you arrived with Columbus in 1492, and you somehow lived all this time, and every day you increased your wealth by $1 million. So at the end of 3 days, you'd be worth $3 million. At the end of the first year, you'd be worth $365 million. If you had done that, you would still not be quite as wealthy as Jeff Bezos. These are just insane amounts of wealth, where the only purpose of the wealth is, you can't buy stuff. You can't buy enough stuff for $196 billion like Jeff Bezos has, or enough vacations or yachts. There's just no way to do it.
Yeah. I mean,
it only represents power.
Yes.
And his ex-wife, and we were talking about this before, his ex-wife got like $35 billion in their settlement. She's given away $16 billion and she's still worth 33 because the growth and
the interest,
the idea of like becoming one of these, like, I don't want to say good versus bad billionaires, but like even giving away the money, it's still going to grow and it's going to be there. So
we're going to have you back, Bob. There's so very much more to talk about because we're coming up against the break. We have news on the way next. I hope we can invite you back.
Happy to come back.
Wonderful. Bob Lord, the policy tax advisor for Patriotic Millionaires, our guest. Thank you so very much, Bob. Really appreciate it. News is on the way next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Memorial Day show as we have on Jeremy Lyon from the Department of Veterans Affairs and looking back at Gold Star families.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
One, two, three.
What you doing?
Four, five, six. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark at Arlington National Cemetery.
Pat, on your